SGB podcast with Hannah Cockcroft.
Hello, I'm Hannah Cockcroft, and this is the official Paralympics GB podcast. And with less than 6 months to go until Paris 2024, I'll be catching up with a range of athletes hoping to represent the Paralympics GB team this year. Today, we have the absolute privilege of speaking with someone who is at the beginning of a very exciting journey ahead in para shot put. And having made an impressive debut at the World Paraathletics Championships in 2023, her sights are now fully set on Paris this year. I'm delighted to be joined by Funmi Adewaye. Well, I know you're a very busy lady, so I'm just going to jump straight in and start questioning you, if that's all right.
That's cool.
People don't always see the videos, so they can't see that you're sat in your car right now, literally making me feel bad for taking up your day.
Look, you have to do what you have to do, do you know what I mean? Like,
she's a busy girl. So I always start by going back to the beginning, which actually isn't that far for you. Can you tell us a bit about your journey to becoming a para athlete? Because actually, after reading your story, this wasn't really ever the plan, was it?
No, it wasn't at all, to be fair. I always knew about para walk. It's just not what I thought of going into. I was able-bodied my whole life. So I used to play basketball. That was something that I wanted to pursue, like, as a career. So I was fully on it, in it. So I had something called knocked knees. So my knees were going in a little bit and it was causing joint issues whenever I played. So for me to fully go on and play, I was going to try and go to America and play basketball there in uni. In order to do that, like, pain-free, I was going to have a surgery to straighten my knees so that it would put less pressure on certain joints and therefore less pain. But during the surgery of my, the first surgery of my right knee, they damaged an artery. So that led to multiple issues and therefore multiple other surgeries. And they didn't know if I could walk again, I would be able to walk again. They didn't know if I'd be able to let them play basketball again. So it's been a complete change of direction of what I thought. But whilst I was doing physio, etc., it was actually my old basketball teammate that was doing my physio. Her husband is a Paralympian. So she kind of introduced me to someone called Anthony Hughes, which is kind of like, that was too good to be true. But introduced me to someone called Anthony Hughes. The first time day I met him, I met my coach, Josh Clark. Anthony Hughes, he died, unfortunately, like, late 2022. And he was the face of DSW. He made DSW. That stands for Disability Sport Wales. Sorry, I should have clarified that. Yeah, so he kind of saw me and I kind of wanted to go in and try different sports. But as soon as they saw me, that they were like, yeah, you're throwing. So it's kind of made up for me. And since then, I kind of just started training. So that was around 2 years ago now.
That is a quick journey. But I feel like, I was going to say, I feel like throwing is not a natural progression from basketball. Did you never consider wheelchair basketball? That feels like the obvious one for me.
To be honest, I did. And I was playing for a bit, especially whilst I was having surgeries. Like, I was doing it quite a bit. For me, it just wasn't the same. People were amazing though. Like, I loved the people, but it just wasn't the same feeling for me. For me, if it wasn't like running basketball, then I just didn't want to do it. It's a kind of like, it was always a constant reminder that I couldn't do what I used to do in some ways, but it's something that I still think I can do for fun if I want to do, but I don't think I could do it properly because I'll spiral into depression.
Yeah, it's almost like too big a comparison. It's easier just to go for something completely different. Was that the most difficult part in kind of transitioning from having those aspirations to compete in basketball and having a future in basketball to then going and finding a new sport? Was that the most difficult bit? I can imagine there were a lot of difficult moments in that kind of transition.
Yeah, a lot. Especially as this happened when I was quite young. I was like 16 when it happened. Me, I was one of the lucky ones that kind of knew what I wanted to do from a young age. So I kind of like knew, okay, before the surgery, like 6 months before, I went to European Championships presenting Wales and I got All-Star 5, which is like the best five in the tournament. And I had loads of different offers coming in and like I kind of just knew what I wanted to do. I was even thinking of going to one of the better academies until I finished college and then going to America. But I kind of settled on, I want to finish my A-levels first before I go to anywhere other places because I was getting offers from places like Italy, Serbia, like places for basketball. So yeah, I was like, I very, very set on, I want to finish my A-levels and then go on to pursue basketball properly. That kind of happens when I started my A-levels. And so that kind of messed up my educational life. Then I rejoined the next year, tried to figure stuff out. But obviously then, by then my friends had moved on. And so it's kind of disrupted my social life as well. Obviously my physical life, my mental, disrupted everything, shifted everything. And it was very difficult to cope with, especially for my age, because basketball is all I knew. Basketball is all I did. What hobbies do you have? Basketball. So it was very difficult. It was a very hard transition.
You must have had a good, I don't know, family or friends or a good group of people to support you through that then. Because I think even now, well, I'm 31, and if someone took racing away from me tomorrow, I genuinely don't want to do. I'd just sit in a corner and that'd be me.
My family, especially, like, I had to stay in the hospital for almost a month rather than one night. So my parent, like, someone had to stay with me every day. It was mainly my mom, but like everyone would take turns. Even my siblings would take turns staying with me in the hospital during the night. They were very much always there to support me. All of them were always there to support me. And that was something that very much comforted me. But I would say the thing that pushed me is trying my hardest. I always, in everything I do, I'm that kind of person anyway. But then also, like, I'm a Christian. I have faith. And I believe that God, he's the one who pushed me. Like, my family were there to comfort me, but he's the one who pushed me. Like, even in the hospital, there was times where, because I had like 5 surgeries in the space of 2 weeks at one point, wow. All under general anesthetic. That kind of, yeah, I kind of did stuff to my head. So it got to the point where I couldn't speak, couldn't read, I couldn't write, I couldn't even text, I couldn't even watch Netflix because I couldn't keep up with what they were saying. It's still happening. You can see I stutter quite a lot sometimes. It's because, like, my brain sometimes is just not moving fast enough for me to speak, but it was pretty hard. I had 5 surgeries in the space of a few weeks. It got to the point where my brain wasn't working properly, and the only thing I could understand was the Bible. Like, I would ask my parents to, it was hard to ask, but like I managed to ask my parents to read me the Bible, and I would just try and repeat it. Obviously it wouldn't come out the same way, however, like, they knew I was just repeating it, so whatever sound was coming out, that was me repeating, and that kind of like pushed me through.
That's a lot to kind of come back from. That's a lot of changes at a young age. So as much as your religion and the Bible helped your rehab, do you think sport helped a little way in your rehab as well? Did it maybe make it slightly easier?
Oh, for sure. Like, one thing I've done from a very young age is sport. My mom put me in a lot of different sports from a young age, and I loved that. Like, I learned a lot about myself by a sport from a young age. So being able to do that again, it was very much like a slight release for me. Basketball was my release before, but coming back into sport, it was like, I just love sport, really. Put me in anything, I just love sport. So that was kind of a comfort as well. Even though it wasn't one that I thought I was going to do for the rest of my life, it's still sport. Like, I can't complain, do you know what I mean?
100%, yeah. You've not lost sport, and that's the most important thing. I listened to an interview with your dad.
Oh, dear.
And he mentioned in it how resilient you are. And I think that's the word you were probably looking for, like determined, resilient. That is
probably
100% what you are. Where do you think that comes from, though? Do you think that, have you always been like that, or has that come since everything that's happened?
I would say I'm even more resilient now. That's a lie. I would say there's slightly more resilient, but I think that comes from my parents as well. They kind of always push that, like, in everything you do, do it well. Everything you do, do the best, be the best. Yeah, it came naturally. All of a sudden, I was just doing it myself, just because I want to. Got to a point where it wasn't even like my parents just saying, oh, try and do things harder, try and do this, do that. It was like, no, I want to be the best. I want to push myself. I want to see the best I can be. So that kind of just came naturally. So whenever I go into something, I always look for like the top goal of what I can do and always try and push for that. So I think that comes slightly from my parents.
Well, I think you're doing pretty well at it, because you're on the Paralympics GB podcast. So I think that's pretty, it's a pretty good place to be. obviously, you're really early in your career and you're not yet a Paralympian. So technically shouldn't be talking to you.
No, not yet.
But, you know, we make allowances. It's all good. What have been your first impressions, kind of coming into this sport, you're obviously seeing lots of different athletes. I presume the competitions are quite different to what you're used to. What have been your first impressions of para athletics?
It's actually so interesting. First of all, one thing that I think I enjoy the most is the stories of how people have...
That we try to share on here.
Exactly. Either like how they've just been resilient their whole lives, how they cope with their disabilities and like the challenges they face, etc. But then also the stories like me that have... They became disabled as well. They're always interesting stories. Like, and they're always different as well. All of them are different. Whether it's like a similar process and a similar outcome, like the journeys are different and it's just amazing to hear. And with para athletics, like obviously athletics is not just one event, so it's multiple different stories in that sense as well. But for me, like it was a bit difficult at first. It is still a bit difficult now, especially coming from a team sport to a very individual sport sometimes. I'm a very social person. I love to have a laugh in training. I love to but always also take my craft seriously. But you don't really tend to like have a team around you all the time. So that's a bit difficult. But everything that you're doing in the sport is like unique to each person, because like obviously everyone has their own disabilities. There are different classifications and there are different events. So it's just interesting to see how people adapt in different ways to do their sport as well.
I was going to ask you about kind of the team sport versus individual sport. Do you find it harder now to motivate yourself? Like for me, I used to play wheelchair basketball and I loved it. I loved being part of a team, but actually I love the control of wheelchair racing more, knowing that it's just me that can do everything. How have you found that transition? And then also, do you struggle with motivation, or I feel like you don't. I feel like you just nail it, so it's fine.
First of all, I just want to say that all the best people have played basketball in their lives, just so.
Everyone I speak to on this podcast has played basketball at some point. It seems to be like that.
So it's just like, I don't have to say too much. But like I said, it's quite difficult for me. I can't lie. Like sometimes it gets to a point where I'm like, I don't enjoy this, because I am used to going to the gym with my teammates, blasting music, having fun whilst working out. And then in training, like messing around whilst we're waiting for our like waiting to do whatever we need to do. But all of that, as well as actually doing what you need to do properly. So coming like from that kind of scene to kind of trying to motivate myself to go to the gym alone, I get nervous still going to the gym alone, because it's like,
really?
I barely know what I'm doing. I never really had to go to the gym alone before. So I just had people there telling me what to do. So it was kind of a rough start. I'm kind of getting into the groove of it now, but I still get like a bit nervous. And I wish I was one of those people that said, the first time they go to the gym, they loved it and did it. No, I still don't like it till this day. But we move. We have to do what we have to do. Training, though, I now train with a couple of people and I do love training with people. I still, to this day, I love training with my coach as well, because he likes to have a laugh. Nothing I hate more than people taking what they're doing too seriously, because it's like, just chill. Just like, let's not pretend like we can just have a joke and then get back to what we need to do. So it's been a tough transition, and I think it still will be tough, especially as I'm coming into a new sport where I do not know anybody, and having to learn names, like all that kind of stuff is very hard and very intimidating. So we'll get there.
You'll get there. It's all good. We're all one big happy family. And you know what? I think the Paralympic team, everyone's just excited to be there. So don't worry about names. Don't worry about knowing people. Everyone just chats to everyone. And you know what? Some of my best friends are from other sports. So when you get in that multi-sport environment, it's just like, just everyone wants to chat. It's great fun. You have a great time. But you have already been in kind of shot to the top of your sport. You finished your first senior GB debut at the World Paralympics Championships in Paris last year. I was there in fourth and sixth place. You know, F44 shot put discus, fourth and sixth place, your first time ever representing GB in the Paralympics scene. I think that's what some people dream of doing. How did it feel?
Yeah, it was quite amazing, to be fair. Like, new sport, new environment. I still have not got my pre-competing routine or wherever sorted. People watching, loads of people watching you live. It's like, it's different, but exciting as well. Like, when I competed, I was quite nervous, I can't lie. Like having people in the stands that I knew support, having my team, and the GB team in the stands supporting me, I loved it. So I know I can get to the place where I can control my emotions when I'm there. But right now, I'm still quite new to it. If I'm being telling the truth, like my parents said, be the best in everything. So when I know I haven't competed the way I want to, it makes me feel not annoyed, but like a little bit disappointed. So I know that was good. The way I competed was good. Fourth and sixth in the world for my first major cons within like a year and a half of playing the sport is, you know,
it's
what I mean?
Bad.
But I know I didn't compete well. If I'm being completely honest, it wasn't the best competing scenario for me. But we move. We've got next ones coming up, do you know what I mean? So
is this you like sending prior warning to any of your competitors that, you know, that was not your full game? You've got plenty more to offer.
Let me not say too much. Let me not scare people away. But I've been training hard, so we'll see what comes of it.
That's what we like to hear. How did it feel putting on that GB kit for the first time?
Oh, it was pretty cool. Yeah. Three, like, kit. What do you mean? I can't really, like, complain.
So what about the experience kind of building up to that major championships and kind of around the competition? How was all that? Any standout moments?
I would say one of the standout moments that people I train with and my coach love to reiterate, and my family actually, because they were there, was like we had Welsh Championship just before Paris, and that was where I got my PB for that season before I went to Paris, and I like face planted the floor in front of everyone. The officials were about to run over, like, but I just started like laughing, but I really wanted the floor to eat me up. I would say that was one of the standout moments. Apart from that, I think it was just full of excitement that I'm first of all going to compete as a high level again with the team and travel doing what I love with the sport. So I think it was just the excitement of that and the excitement of, obviously, like, I haven't had a normal journey. So being able to succeed at such a rate I was, I have gone very fast. Like, I have succeeded, like, very, very fast. And so that comes with its pros and cons, but like either way, I'm happy with my journey and I hope it just continues to flourish, really.
I mean, I'm absolutely sure it will. Did it feel a lot different competing on that world stage compared to just competing at the Welsh Championships or just anywhere else in the UK?
Oh, for sure, because anywhere else in the UK, it's kind of like they're not everywhere else is catered for para athletes. Mm-hmm. So most of the time I will be competing against able-bodied athletes, which kind of gives me, again, pros and cons, gives me motivation to compete harder as well, because I know what I can do and like I have a lot of competition, just trying to do the best I can do. But then also it's cons because I'm, again, very new to the sport, so I kind of take that to heart a little bit as well when I'm I don't know how well I'm doing actually for myself as an F44. So
you just said that you're an F44 thrower. Can you explain to any listeners that don't really understand our classification system what that means?
So F44F is for field, and 44 is a lower limb disability but you can use your knee, so it's below the knee that's affected. And then F42 would be the knee as well, but my knee after the surgery is actually fine. It's just the effects below the knee now that it's a bit iffy. So yeah, I have my impairment is below the knee and down.
When you look back over the last couple of years, you're in a totally different sport. You're representing Great Britain at international events. Does it feel kind of surreal when you look back and think, I've done that in literally a couple of years?
For sure. Like, it's actually crazy. It's actually crazy to me because I think I've told this story like multiple times before, but I came out of hospital because I begged to, not because I was actually ready to. So there were like, for the first like at least a year or so, I couldn't really get up the stairs properly. So I used to like have to do everything downstairs, and it was quite even sleep on a mattress in front of the TV. Like, everyone would try and stay downstairs as long as they could just to keep me company. I remember this one day where I was watching, I think the Rise of the Phoenix, that Netflix documentary came out, and I was watching it. I actually really liked it. I was watching it and like, this, first of all, again, the stories, which is what I love. Obviously, you have loads of para athletes that are watching their stories and watching how they've progressed and what they've accomplished. And I think my sister made one comment saying, oh, that will be you in the next couple of years. And I was like, God forbid, because I was in a mindset of like, I wasn't going to stay like this. I was going to work myself out of it. It's crazy thinking, like, I was watching, like, of course, Johnny Peacock was on there. So watching him on that documentary, seeing what he's like succeeded, my sister making a comment like that, and then me next to him out of Paris, literally like almost 2-3 years later. It's crazy to me. Like, it is crazy to me because, like, I don't know. It's just how good God works. Like, it's, and that can't be a coincidence, really. And then by God's grace, we know what's coming up this year as well. Like, I think that I could have been one of those people in that documentary. Like, it's just crazy to me. Actually crazy. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, you're saying you could be one of those people in that documentary. You are going to be one of those people in a documentary. It's recently been announced there's going to be a Road to Paris documentary on Channel 4, and you and me and a few of our amazing teammates are going to be in it. So, I mean, look, it's all aligning. It's all
love
happening.
That. It's honestly, and I'm so happy. I'm so like, I'm looking forward to it so much. But I don't even know how to act. I don't even know what to say, really. Like, it's crazy. That's all I can say, is that it's crazy. And things have come so fast. Like, and I just thank God for, like, the journey he's giving me. Because I knew good things would happen in my life, especially, like, after what would happen with my leg. But I just didn't know what it would be, so.
But I think a lot of that's down to you as well. You know, like, a lot of people in your situation would just see the bad side of it, would just see the negatives. But you seem to just constantly pick out the, I've got this opportunity, I'm going to do this, I'm still going to be good. A lot of it's down to you too, you know.
Thank you. Because I always, like, said that everyone should take, like, every opportunity that comes to them. Like, especially me. Like, every opportunity, I just take it, I just take it, I just take it. So this is literally the fruit of taking every opportunity to, like I've been saying. Because if I didn't take that opportunity to try a para sport, then where would I be right now?
I mean, I'm not the only person who thinks that. I read an interview with your coach, Josh Clark. I have been around long enough that I knew Josh when he was a thrower on the team. So
no way.
That's a throwback for you. But here you go, to make you blush. He said that finding someone like her is like finding a needle in a haystack. She missed third by just 20 centimetres, so I was really happy with her performance and how she held herself in such a big environment. I mean, does that give you encouragement that you're on the right track, you're going to achieve big things in this sport? Feel like you know this is how it's going to go.
For sure, Not even if it's not, like, this year, I know this is just the start of my journey. So like, again, it's a new sport, so I don't know. It took me quite a while to figure out what level I was at certain points. Anthony Hughes would always say, and Jill, there's no Anthony without Jill and no Jill without Anthony. But, like, they always said, oh, you're going to do great things. You're actually so good. You don't know how good you actually are. Anthony, before he passed away, he said, you're going to be at World Championships next year. I was like, all right. I thought they were just chatting, because, again, I didn't know what level I was at certain points. But now I actually believe what I say. Sometimes I still have my doubts. I remember, like, recently asking Josh, like, do you think I'm actually gonna, like, be like a 15 meter thrower at some point or something? He's like, yes. If you aren't, then I'm quitting. Obviously he's joking, because he cannot, because I know where he lives. But yeah, so it's like, I still have my doubts. I still sometimes struggle to see where I am in certain situations, but I know either way, if other people believe in me, then I can just go off of that rather than my knowledge.
And it's amazing that you have so many people that have believed in you. You know, you've mentioned Anthony a lot. I knew Anthony really well, and he was a fantastic guy, incredible at his job. And you speak so highly of him, and I think anyone I ever speak to about him does the same. And it's a huge loss to the sport. But Anthony was the performance manager of Disability Sport Wales. He was around for a long time before me. I'd like to put that in. Do you think that you would be where you are now without Ant's help?
No way. Again, like, no way. I don't want to say too much, but just things would just wouldn't be the same. Like, things wouldn't be the same without him. And there's no one that can fill his shoes. There's no one that can do what he has done for other people, not just me. Because I'm speaking so highly of him, and I only knew him for like a year. And he did so much for me in my life. He even bought me my first throwing shoes that I still use to this day, and aww, I'm struggling to let go of. But like, he did so much for me personally, and let alone the people that I knew him for double the amount of time that I knew him for, let alone for almost their whole lives, almost their whole parasport careers. He's done so much for so many people. So even people that don't know him probably have been impacted by him, especially if they've got a disability. So I just want to thank him like a lot.
I think that's a beautiful place to leave it. What a nice little tribute. Yeah. He was a great, great guy.
Yeah, for sure.
But let's get back to why we're actually here. 2024 Paralympic Games are, I think they're less than 150 days away now. So,
oh my goodness.
Enjoy that thought. That made me feel sick when I saw that.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I'm sure, or I hope, it's quite high up on the list of things you'd like to do. You'd like to be there.
Oh, yeah, maybe like fifth, sixth.
Yeah, just like on the list somewhere. Yes. I mean, just imagine you're there. You're in that stadium. You're a Paralympian. You're representing Paralympics UB. You get some of this kit.
Yeah.
How are you going to feel in that moment?
I get excited thinking about it to this day. Like, I'm one of those people that I literally have to stop myself from thinking about some certain stuff because of how excited I get. So I kind of try and stop myself thinking about, like, I can think about it a lot. I kind of desensitized my mind about it. Like, I don't like to think about it too much because it's like, I will actually start screaming right now.
That's the excitement we want. That's, so, you know, yeah, let it out.
Exactly.
It's
so it's like, Fumi, calm down, because, you know, one thing about me is like, when I get excited for something and when I say I can't wait for something, I can't wait. I have to have it now. When I let myself be excited and then I realize it's still like over 100 days away, I'm like, okay, Fumi, calm down. Get excited when you're on the plane, do you know what I mean? Not the wisest decision to probably start screaming on the plane, but
but if it happens, we're all expecting it now, so it's absolutely fine. Exactly. We know there's nothing wrong. Exactly. She's just excited. I mean, personally, I am very happy that there are still over 100 days to go. There are 100 very useful days.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
There's lots of work to do. And around that work, what does the training schedule of a para thrower look like? What is your weekly routine?
I train 3 times a week. I also gym 3 times a week. Then I do like physio / Pilates like 3 times a week. So it's like every day I'm doing, apart from Sunday, I refuse to do anything on Sundays.
Sunday is the day of rest.
It is, do you know what I mean? And at least that's the excuse I use.
Me too, it's fine.
So it's quite, I wouldn't say completely intense, but I know, thank God I can drive now. Like, I passed my test like a month ago.
Congratulations.
So, and
amazing.
I don't think I would, thank you. So I don't think I would be able to do like half the things I do if I didn't, because yeah, I'm very much everywhere, going from one place to another. So it is quite intense, especially with the other things I do in my life as well. So like, it's constantly on the go, but I think I enjoy that, because that's the thing, again, before the surgery, that's what my day-to-day was. I probably did even more before that. Yeah, I think this is not as much as I can handle right now, but like, it's pretty high up there because of the medications I take and everything as well, and the pain I'm in, like, I think it's enough for now. I enjoy staying busy. I love doing the thing that I do, doing the thing that I love, which is sport. So
outside of that training then, what is it? You know, you said that in the past, basketball was your passion. It was your hobby. Have you got any other hobbies or passions, or is it just athletics now? It's that's my hobby, so that's fine.
Yeah, so it is very much becoming athletics, but like, it's been quite a struggle trying to find my own hobbies and not equating it to sport. But then also I coach basketball as well. Oh, wow. For Cardiff Mount Archers. So I do that 3 days a week as well. And then there's games and then there's tournaments, all that kind of stuff. So then I've got hospital appointments that take up a lot of my time.
I don't know if we're counting that as a hobby. I don't know if I'm going to give you that.
Not quite. Might as well, but... the intensity I do it at, but yeah, do a lot of hospital appointments. Then I model occasionally.
Okay.
Occasionally. I haven't been too consistent on it because I do a lot and it is hard to keep a track of. But yeah, there is that as well. Right now, my life is usually like not to be that guy, but it's usually this meeting, that meeting, this interview, this event. Like it's always something random happening. So,
and I think, do you not find, like, did that surprise you when that all started happening? I think there's this really big assumption that athletes we just eat, train, sleep. That's what we do. We've got a lot of time to relax. Like, and I'm the person who's like, what is relaxing? When is the time off? Did it surprise exactly. you that life is so busy as an athlete?
No, to be honest, it didn't. Only because I was doing sport before. Mm-hmm. So, like, I knew it'd be quite intense, but I didn't know it'd be this. I thought it would be a little bit more relaxed when you get to a certain level, but it really isn't. And then even if it's not all those things happening, it is the taking time to think of your meals. I've prepared them. You have nutritionists on you. You have like physio, you have all these different kind of people on you. And then not to mention like you have to be aware of anti-doping as well. It's a lot of things that you have to be aware of. So your mind is like constantly switch on, even if you're not doing anything. But even then, you barely have time to not do anything. So yeah.
It's a busy life.
It's quite intense. Yeah, it is.
I think that everything you've shared today is going to inspire so many people that are listening. So if you could give one message or one piece of advice, maybe to someone who's going through a massive life change like you did, or even just people who are facing barriers and obstacles and pursuing their dreams, what would your message be to them?
So I have to start off by saying that God knows the plan he has for you and the plan he has for your life. And everything you are going through now, you might not understand, but later you will understand. When you get there, again, you'll understand. But obviously, that takes some work from you as well. Like, take every opportunity that comes, try your best in every experience, and just have fun as well. Relax, have fun. Try and find something you enjoy and try and focus on that, because you never know what can come of it.
It's a great message. It's a great one to put out there. Looking ahead, what are your goals and your aspirations in the next couple of years? Are you going to achieve as much in the next couple of years as you already have?
The major one is the obvious one, the reason we're on here for this podcast. I think there has been a lot of pressure on me in the past, thinking, oh, you should come back with a medal, you should come back with gold, not just in this competition, but World Championships last year. And one thing that really embarrassed me was like thinking, oh, I'm going to go for gold, da, 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 da. And then not even coming home with a medal. So
that's like, hey, making that team is a big achievement, honestly. Don't
yeah, exactly,
knock it.
Exactly. I think one major thing for me is not focusing on what I can come home with, but then actually enjoying the experience, because I know this is going to be my first, but not going to be my last Paralympics. So I can, even if it's not this one, like I can concentrate on the next one, but just enjoy as your first Paralympics, make sure you enjoy the actual experience rather than focusing on what you can achieve. That's my major goal. And then obviously kind of just leave the rest of it till it comes, really. But this is my main focus for this year, at least. And then because of the backtrack of my life, I'm finally able to go to uni. So as soon as I come back, going to uni, and then hopefully it doesn't become way too much. Those are my targets.
I'm surprised you're going to add more busyness to that schedule.
We'll see how it goes. I still want to try. I'd rather try than just
100%. If you don't try it, you never know, and if you don't love it, you'll learn from it.
Exactly.
So there's everything,
take every
to take.
Opportunity.
I love it. Well, I am gonna let the busiest lady ever get on with her day. I want to wish you the absolute best of luck with the year that's ahead and everything beyond that. I can't wait to hopefully be on a team with you at your first Paralympic Games. And I can't wait to hear the scream of excitement on the plane. I'll be able to tell everyone, it's okay. She's just excited.
Yeah, it's okay.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story and just having a really good chat with me. I really appreciate your time. And I'm sure everyone listening will as well.
Thank you, Hannah, because you are an inspiration to other people too.
Oh, thank you.
Just put that out there.
For more info on Paralympics GB, head to paralympics.org.uk and follow us on the socials at Paralympics GB. You can find all the links to these in the description below. Also, don't forget to hit subscribe or follow wherever it is that you're listening to this show, as there will be more shows, more athletes, and more stories from behind the scenes in Paralympic sports to come. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
The Paralympics GB podcast with Hannah Cockcroft.